As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, as you're aware, we have one of the smallest majorities in the history of America. And so we have to thread this needle to pass this one big, beautiful bill. And the president has been crystal clear. He's not going to cut benefits to people on Medicaid, Medicare, Social Security. And the big, beautiful bill that we send to the president's desk has to address that. Are there reforms within those programs that can be included in this bill that will cut fraud, waste, create more efficiencies? Absolutely. And you can do that without cutting benefits. We have to make sure we deliver on this one big, beautiful bill. If we do not, Americans will face the largest tax increase in the history of America. On average, 207 million taxpayers will see a 22% tax increase. That is the last thing they need right now after they've seen an inflation tax of over 20% in the last 4 years in the Biden administration.
Well, that's Congressman Jason Smith, who will be on the Annie Frye Show tomorrow. But we want to get an update from our friend Ryan Schmelz. He's Fox News Radio, Capitol Hill, and White House correspondent on X at Ryan Schmelz Fox. We want to know, Ryan, how is the negotiation going right now for this big, beautiful bill to finally make its way to the president's desk?
Well, it's still in the early stages. You know, the framework got passed, so you have the agreement that's there, which is, and the big one was always going to be tax law, and you got spending cuts. So $1.5 trillion on the record from John Thune, at least that's what he said he would agree to, $1.5 trillion in spending cuts. But that's also where it's going to get tricky, because I think there is a thought that there's no way you can get to $1.5 trillion without getting into a couple of things, which includes entitlements and also includes military spending potentially. So that's probably going to be the challenge here, is how do they come up with this money that's going to be enough to get Freedom Caucus members, conservative members like Eric Burleson and some other members like that on board, but then also not lose some of the more moderate members along the way.
Okay, so Ryan Schmelz joining us right now. As I recall, the Senate has passed something that they're sending to the House. The House has to get on board right now.
They got through that part.
That part got done.
Yes.
So now...
So they passed the framework. Now they actually have to start the process of reconciliation, which is putting the pieces of it together and saying, this is where the spending cuts are going to come from. This is what is going to be included in the tax cuts. This is what the energy policy looks like. So now, you know, if you thought that was fun watching Republicans find enough members to vote for the last bill, when they actually get to the reconciliation process, it's going to be quite the spectacle to watch, because this is going to be challenging. Not saying they can't get it done, but like Jason Smith, the chairman, just mentioned right there, they have one of the slimmest majorities in history, and just one member not liking what they can, not liking what they see, can cause a lot of problems.
Yeah, certainly. So you get the framework. I think that people like us who are on this side of things don't really understand the gravity of how big of an ask this is. Ryan, when was the last time a budget was passed?
an actual like a budget with appropriations and all that, the 90s. But the reconciliation process, which we're seeing right now, this usually happens whenever you have a new president take office and the president has control of Congress. So you saw Joe Biden use the reconciliation process. I believe that's how he got the Inflation Reduction Act through. Some of his other big legislative priorities, they were done through reconciliation. President Trump, first term, he used reconciliation to get the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act passed. And then President Obama used reconciliation to push the Affordable Care Act.
So when we talk about reconciliation, is the reconciliation process beneficial specifically because of the Senate's the majority that is needed there to vote? Of course, in a simple majority in the House, as long you said one representative for Republicans more than Democrats, you can't lose any more than that. In the Senate, it's different. It's always a higher bar in order to pass things there. Yeah. The reconciliation is what makes that different?
Well, and it's the reason why they like to use reconciliation when it comes to these big priorities, because when they use the reconciliation process, they don't have to worry about the filibuster. Everything is passed through a simple majority. So unlike the government funding process, usually they're going to need 60 votes and the filibuster is an active piece of that. But when they have the reconciliation process, they can simply pass most of this just on a simple majority. So they have a lot of advantages here. And that's why you've seen presidents take advantage of it when they've had control of Congress, because this is the best way to get really the big items in their agenda across the finish line. It's just to use the reconciliation process. So on the Senate side, Republicans can really afford to lose about probably three or four on any big issue. Rand Paul's already going to be a problem, so it's really kind of 52. And then J.D. Vance can break the tie on just about anything. But then in the House, it gets even more complicated because you have somebody like Thomas Massie and Victoria Sparks, who were nose on the framework just a week ago. You know, you add anybody else to that who's going to be a no, then the bill can get sunk. That's how complicated this majority is right now.
Ryan, is there even a loose timeline on any of this? Are they proposing that if we try to get done by this date, or are they just kind of going with the flow?
Memorial Day weekend is the deadline that Speaker Johnson has put out there, and that is the goal that they have for this. But you know, I'm not saying it can't happen. I think the consensus around here is that it's a very ambitious goal to get to that point. But it's not saying it can't be done. It certainly can be. Just some believe it's a little ambitious.
So this bill, at least the details I've seen, do not suggest that they're actually going to balance the budget here. But between now and when they pass it, we're spending more now than after they pass it, correct?
I believe so. Correct. Yes. So if they're able to get the $2 trillion in spending cuts, they could definitely make a damper on government spending. But the question is, how much are the tax cuts going to cost? You know, that's where I think some of this becomes kind of a question where the math is disagreed upon between, you know, the Committee for Responsible Federal Budget, the Congressional Budget Office, House Republicans, Senate Republicans. Even within the House Republican base, there's disagreements about how the math is going to add up. And so that's where I think some of this disagreement comes from. Now, there's some who believe that there are things like energy policy that's going to be in here that's going to raise a lot of revenue. And there's some other aspects of this, too. I mean, yeah, keep in mind, there's like I believe 300 plus billion in military spending and border spending that's in here too. So it gets a little complicated because there's ways in which they can raise revenue through reconciliation. There's also ways they can lose revenue too. So I think that's kind of where the math is becoming a complicated piece of this.
We're speaking with Ryan Schmelz. He is the Fox News Radio Capitol Hill and White House correspondent. You know, we've heard the president talk about some of these executive orders that he's put into place. He wants to see them codified by Congress. Where do those? I mean, there's been a lot. There is so many that it's hard to even keep up with. I get the press schedule every day from the White House, and it just says like 3 p.m. President signed executive orders, and then there are more. There are proclamations and so on and so forth. How is Congress moving on making sure that these things that are signed in to action by the president can't be signed out of action by the next?
So when Congress gets back next week, they're actually going to be probably considering the first rescission bill that the Trump administration has sent to Congress. So that is going to include, I think it's about $10 billion, a little less than that. You'll have some USAID cuts in there, and you'll also have some cuts, I believe, to NPR and PBS. So that's not a lot of money that they're going after first, but it's the first trial, I would say, for a rescissions package. And this is another very easy process for the president. All that they have to do is send Congress what they want cut, and then the Senate and the House can pass that on a simple majority. So this is the first step you would see to maybe codifying some of those DOGE executive orders, especially when it comes to USAID. But I would also watch out for the reconciliation process and seeing some of those executive orders being codified through that as well.
I'm looking right now at the U.S. debt clock, and I have it up on my screen all of the time, Ryan, and it just, the DOGE clock had been added to the U.S. debt clock, and the savings per taxpayer, I was watching on Friday, I think it took like maybe 2 hours for the savings per taxpayer to go up $1, but it's now over $3,000. It's $3,059 in savings per taxpayer based on what DOGE has been able to track or claw back. What have you heard any discussion about the developments that might be taking place with the DOGE efforts specifically? And then, you know, we heard for a minute that maybe there was a DOGE dividend that was coming back per taxpayer. I don't know how popular that was. It was interesting to talk about for a day. Where's DOGE?
So a couple things on. I know there's a back and forth, I think, from people about how much the DOGE savings are, how accurate they are. Obviously, the administration thinks that they're spot on. Some others will say that, you know, it's not a number that the data is not provided there for them to really be able to dive into it and see how accurate it is. But, you know, and there's others who say, too, that, you know, these are savings, but they can't officially become savings until Congress passes the rescission package and codifies those savings into law. And then officially, whatever that money the government's being spent is spending on, then it officially goes away. Now, what you were saying, I believe it's kind of the reference that Elon made, I think, like early on when they were talking about, well, like returning the money actually to people in general.
Right.
Yeah, that kind of got mixed reactions from Republicans in Congress. I think there were some who just said, look, there's no way that we can actually be serious about addressing the national debt by just paying people money and doing a stimulus package similar to what they did during COVID. And I think there's also a concern that if you did something like that, that would drive up inflation as well. So I don't think that's realistically an option of something that could happen, just because I don't think there'd be enough support for it amongst Republicans, unless there were some Democrats out there who would support it. But I haven't really heard anything like that just yet.
Ryan, I've asked you this question in the past, but I just wanted to follow up to see if there's been any changes because things are fast moving. If they pass a budget this year, let's say they pass it before Memorial Day, and it hasn't balanced the budget, how long does that new budget go into effect? How soon could they come back to it, let's say next year, and say, okay, now we can actually balance this budget because we did that last year? Like, how quickly can that happen?
So normally the fiscal year starts at the end of September. Right now, the government's under what's called a continuing resolution, or a CR, that's funding the government until the end of September. So what Speaker Johnson and Leader Thune want to do is they want to do what's called the appropriations process, where they pass all 12 individual spending bills that fund different parts of the federal government. Well, normally they start that process in late September. We're now in late April, and we haven't seen a single appropriations bill proposed just yet. So not saying it's going to be impossible for them to pass these appropriations bills and make up a full budget, but it's going to take a lot of work, and it's definitely going to be a complicated process. And here's the thing you're probably going to want to watch for, too. With the appropriations bills and the actual budget process, you do need 60 votes in the Senate. So they're going to need some Democrats to play ball with them. And what has DOGE done? Is that maybe upset a number of Democrats where they're not going to get cooperation on it? Or Democrats, or at least some Democrats, going to say, hey, look, we know the makeup of Congress. We're going to have to do whatever we can and just try to find wins where we can. But if not, I mean, they could probably stall to the last minute. Next thing you know, we're going back to doing what's called an omnibus, which is, you know, one giant spending bill that they usually pass right before the government shuts down, and it funds the government through the end of September again. So that's what they're trying to do. Usually it's a end of September to end of September timeline for the fiscal year that they normally work with.
Ryan, what you said earlier in this conversation, that we haven't passed it like an actual budget since the 90s. Why? Why is it? Why is it so hard?
Congressional disagreements usually add up to it. Waiting till the last minute. It's hard to do. I mean, just passing 12 appropriations bills, it's not easy. And you're kind of seeing just right now. I mean, if we want to give right now an example, you know, new president, most of the Senate's time is eaten up just dealing with confirmations. You know, the whole hearing process and having the votes on the floor and the debates on the floor, that eats up a lot of time as it is. So that's probably one of it. You know, there's maybe the political will and the lack of attention to it. There's a number of factors as to why Congress has not been able to pass a full budget for a number of decades now. And if you were to ask somebody like Rand Paul, well, his theory is that there's the secret handshake that goes on, is that you wait till the last minute, Republicans and Democrats get together, each side gets at least some of what they want, and then they shake hands and they pass a bill, you know, late in the process to avoid a government shutdown. So it depends on who you ask, but there's a lot of reasons for why we've never been able to do it.
Yeah, I think that's kind of amazing. 90s, wow. Ryan, thank you for being with us today. We always love having you. We look forward to getting the updates as they continue to occur. You're the best. Thanks for being with us today.
Hey, thank you, Annie. Have a good one.
Yep, you as well. Bye-bye. Ryan Schmelz, the Fox News legal correspondent. I'm reading the wrong one. Fox News Radio Capitol Hill and White House correspondent. You can find him on X at Ryan Schmelz Fox. And he is always right there abreast of what is going on. There's got to be so much minutia that goes into what he does for a living. Like all of the things, the wealth of knowledge that he knows in his head, that you've got to understand processes in order to relate it to the American people in a way they understand. Because, man, when people say it'll take an act of Congress to do something, that means it's not going to happen.
He just outlined why that's so tough.
Yeah, the 90s.
That was a vocabulary test. Mm-hmm. Omnibus, mm-hmm. Appropriations,
reconciliation.
Yeah. Those are all rescissions. Those are all things that are impacting the budget of the nation. And this is what we do for a living, and it is hard for us to keep up.
Yes. So you can understand, like, to me, it's interesting, one of the things that he said about, like, why haven't we done this since the 90s? Like, good grief. And he said because it's hard to do, but he also said people didn't.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber. Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I think it was a priority. It's like,
well, that's true.
It's so amazing.
Like, what is more important than preserving our economy in a way that makes sure that in case of an emergency, we can break glass and have some money that actually exists behind that glass, not just a printing press that screws the future?
I think that we've been down that road.
Unfortunately, that road is a circle.
It's a cul-de-sac.
It's just a trek. And we're just going around and around and around and around. It's awful. Let's take a quick break. YouTube live chat poll. Should legislatures outlaw school mascots they deem derogatory? We want to know from you. You hear about the Illinois side of the river about the HB 1237 that is looking to make illegal mascots like the Collinsville Kahawk or the Muscoota Indian, Freeburg Midgets, the Granite City Warriors. I wonder if you can be a warrior and not be a Native American mascot as your warrior. Someone said in the chat that Calhoun might be the Warriors as well.
Oh, I saw that comment.
I'll have to look that up, too. Are there more that we haven't mentioned that are in the crosshairs of the Illinois State Legislature that wants to tell you how to run your local communities? Good grief. I mean, is there anything they won't control? I think you could probably understand where I am on this poll. But we need to know where you are as well. Hustle over to the Annie Fry YouTube live chat poll and let us know if you think legislatures should outlaw school mascots they think are derogatory. Oh, it's time. Let the legislature, let the state government handle your business for you. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.